Last week, we started this series on forgiveness. We talked about how forgiveness is a two-party transaction. It's a two-party transaction in the scripture, in the scriptures. In the Bible, there is no place that links forgiveness to a one-party transaction. So in other words, you can't say, well, this person did this, I forgive them, without some type of going to that other person. Or if you know somebody's done something wrong to you, that person is supposed to come to you because there's supposed to be repentance that is pushing that and driving that. We said that as followers of Jesus, one of the things that is always on the table for us, always on the table, is forgiveness. That full transaction may not happen, but forgiveness is always on the table, that we can both be giving and receiving forgiveness. We own our wrongs and we say sorry when we do something wrong, and when we wrong someone else, we tell that person, we talk about to them and say, will you please forgive me? And that is the part that we move toward this transaction that happens in forgiveness. And really what we're looking for and what the Bible talks about is this idea of moving toward reconciliation. Remember, there's three possibilities as a Christian. One possibility is, and this one is talked about over and over again, you got to overlook stuff. Don't be so sensitive. Suck it up, buttercup. That's Levi translation. If that person has done something, though, that has broken the relationship, you have a responsibility to go to that person. You have a responsibility to move into that conflict, and that's hard for some of us. And the hope and the dream is that repentance and forgiveness would happen, and which leads to this reconciliation. If the person doesn't repent, we are to give it over to God. And those are really the three options that we have. Our faith grows as we go, God, I'm going to trust you. This was wrong, and I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to give you this. Vengeance is yours, not mine. And so remember, both parties, the one who is wronged and the perpetrator, both have the responsibility, according to the scripture, to go and try to live at peace with all people. We, you know, I'm giving you this really quick, and if you weren't here last week, you're going, well, maybe there's lots of questions. We have done a little video for you, and I think we have the web address. There's Nate, and he's going to explain that kind of with a flow chart for you, and so you can pick that up at wow, that's a lot of you do take a picture real quick, right? Or you can just text this number 906-233-6611 and just say, give me the video, and we'll send that video over to you. That number also is, anytime that you have questions as we're walking through this, please text us. We want to be able to answer those. Our commitment is to getting back to you by Monday, and we'll get back by Monday evening at least, and try to answer your questions that you have if you're sitting here. And if you're sitting here and you're engaged and you're tracking, you're going, but what about this? Please just text that number, 233-6611. Hopefully that gets us to where we need to. You guys are caught up. We're tracking together. Last summer, I was picking blueberries. I was out with my boys, and I was out with my dad, and we were at this blueberry patch, and it was kind of, this blueberry patch was overgrown, and it was like Jumanji. Like the weeds were big, and I was in the back chunk where the bears wouldn't even go to eat these things, right? And so I'm back there, and as I'm walking along, there's this bug that goes bzzz, and it comes at my face. And as it comes at my face, what do when a bug comes at our face? We swat at it, right? Like we want to knock it off. We want to get it away from us. Well, this was a hornet. And so as I swat at this thing, because I think I stepped on his home, and like us, we don't like people stepping on our houses. It didn't like me stepping on its house. And so it is like in my face. And so when I swat at it, it goes right on my cheek. And then I swat it, and it hits me right here, and it stings me here, and then it stings me in the back of the head a couple of times. And I'm running out of the thicket, throwing my hoodie on, and my boys are laughing, and my own daddy's laughing at me. And they're like, what's wrong with you? What happened? And I tell them what happened, that there was this hornet. And so the day goes on, and I'd been stung like 3 times, and my face starts to swell up. It looks like I have a goiter at this point. And I wake up in the morning, and I'm thinking, huh, I really like breathing. I probably should go to the doctors. And so I go to the doctors. They give me some steroids. And if you remember that sermon, I was on steroids. It is like you've drank like 8 cups of coffee, and it is crazy. And they gave me steroids, and it did help. But the point in all of this is that when a bug comes to your face, we have a natural reaction, don't we? Get it off, right? It doesn't matter if it's a cricket, doesn't matter if it's a beetle, doesn't matter if it's a bee. We're like, we'll get that thing off. We swat immediately. We don't go, I wonder what I should do about the bug that's on my face. No, we don't do that, right? Like, immediately we swat at this thing. Jesus told some stories. He told some stories of our heart. And he basically said last week the things that come from our mouth, or the actions that come from us, they actually are rooted in our hearts. They're rooted in who we are. And he said, you need to swat those things away. A lot of times what we do, though, is we really don't think about those things, and they're like, well, it's not really that bad. Or we dismiss those, or we push those in a direction where we kind of repress them. But we don't go like a bug in our face, bam, we're getting rid of this thing. And Jesus says, no, you need to root those things out. And hopefully today, as we walk through this, we're going to talk about guilt. And as we talk about guilt, hopefully there's some swatting that happens. That's our prayer today, is that God would lead us to root some of this stuff out. And really what we're going to focus in on is guilt that we hold on to, guilt that we really can't forgive ourselves, and it has taken root in our hearts in such a way that is causing some pain. Jesus says these things that are inside of our heart are much more dangerous than a bug in your face. And we need to get rid of these things. I want to talk about specifically guilt in the realm of forgiving yourself today. And so if you're here today this sermon, this talk, this us coming together, it is really for anyone who's ever made a mistake. And so, well, if you're not a person that has ever made a mistake, then you can check out for the next like 25 minutes. But just know that you're in denial. We've all done it, right? We've all made mistakes. We all have this pressure of guilt, and guilt in and of itself is actually not a bad thing. Guilt, actually, when we feel guilt, it's the light of truth pushing up against our mistake, right? And we see who we really are, and we feel bad about this whole thing, right? And so all of us have made mistakes, and it's due to us being human, being born into the sin condition. One of the hard things that we have to do is, if you have a relationship with someone else, another human being, chances are that you're going to hurt them. You're going to make a mistake. You're going to feel guilty. And chances are they're probably going to hurt you at some level. And so guilt is this really big monster. And it's a monster because love cannot, it can never be built in guilt. Love can never be built in guilt. And here's why. It can't be built in guilt. The greatest commandment is that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, and our mind. And the second of these is what? To love your neighbor as yourself. For some of us, we think we have done something along the highway of life that we still think about, and we feel a great amount of guilt. Guilt has taken root in our hearts, and when this happens, it's no longer an event that's happened, but it becomes more of a marker in our life, or an identifier of who we are. And so when guilt has taken root, there's two things that really can't happen. One is that we have trouble receiving love. We start to believe that we are no longer deserving of love. Or we've covered it up so much that we think that we're pushing it away, but we're really pretending to be somebody that we're really not. And so we've covered this thing up. We find the first kind of picture of guilt all the way back in Genesis. Remember Adam and Eve? They sinned, and what do they do? Oh, you're naked. And they put fig leaves. Why do they put fig leaves? Why do they cover up? Because they feel guilty. They've noticed something that they've never noticed before. And so they try to cover it up. And so they start to pretend to be something that they're actually not. And so guilt, it takes root in us. And we start to go, I wonder if they're ever going to find out who I really am. Are they ever going to find out? When is it going to be revealed, like my true self that's going on down in my heart? The real me. And so if you can never be the real you, no one can really love you, right? Like it's not you. It's the fig leaf you, right? It's not the authentic you. It's something else. Something that you've been covering up. And so eventually we have trouble receiving love, which means eventually you will have trouble giving love. Our souls are kind of like a bank, right? It's like a bank account. There needs to be deposits of love, somebody loving you, somebody caring about you. And when we have that, when we're truly being loved for who we are, it's very easy to give that away. But if you don't have that, if those transactions aren't happening, you can't just continue to take withdrawals from your bank account, right? You can't give what you don't have. So if you can't receive, then you eventually can't give love. Guilt is much more threatening to you than a bug on your face. Where does guilt come from? It comes from the idea that I owe you something. I did something to you, and now I'm indebted to you. When we talk about forgiveness, we're talking about a debt-debtor situation. When we talk about forgiveness, we even phrase it that way, right? We say something like, I owe them an apology, or they owe me an apology. It's a debt-debtor relationship. It's transactional. And when we want to get revenge, and when there's this exacting of revenge on someone, we will call it, well, that was just payback, right? See, there's a transaction that's happening. It's a debt-debtor relationship. Anytime we talk about forgiveness, it's transactional. So guilt says, I have done you wrong. Guilt says, I owe you. In Matthew 6, in the Lord's Prayer, it says this, forgive us. This is the words of Jesus. He's teaching his disciples to pray, and this is what he says. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Do you notice? It's this transactional relationship. It's this debt-debtor relationship that we have. So guilt says, I owe you. If you're carrying around guilt, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to do ask that question, what do I actually owe? What do I actually owe this other person? Guilt in and of itself is not wrong. It leads us into the truth that you may have done something wrong to somebody else, but what do you actually owe that other person? And the more specific that we are in this, the better that we can root this out of us. And so for some of you here today, you owe somebody time. You said that you would be there in a certain season, maybe, and you weren't there. And you owe them that. Maybe you were an absentee parent. Your kids grew up without you. For others, maybe you made a promise to someone that you would be there in a certain season, and you were not there. It could be that you owe someone your loyalty. You betrayed them. Maybe they don't even know that you did this. But you betrayed them behind their back, and you feel guilty about that. The other person, this is kind of the tricky part of this. The other person didn't even know it happened, but you do, right? And it's pushing down on you. It could be that you owe someone the truth, you lied. And it could be that you're still lying. It could be that you stole someone's reputation, you gossiped about them. It could be that you knew that what was happening and you knew that you were speaking these words to really hurt them. It could be that you're just trying to make yourself look better, but you feel guilty inside. Instead of encouragement, you gossiped and you dinged their reputation. It could be that you stole money. That's kind of an easy one, right? Like you should pay, right? Pay back. Could be that you owe somebody the real you. Could be that you're living a lie. You're living a secret, and you're hoping that no one will ever ask. Never ask, and hoping that no one will ever see that real you. It's not a lie that you told. It's a lie that you're living. And on it goes. And the question that we're going to wrestle with is, who do you owe? Who owes you? The more specific that you can be about this, the more that we can deal with it. And I believe that the Spirit of the living God can root it out of you. Once you figure out what you owe, you need to face. And I'm going to give you some really practical things in this thing. You need to face the truth, which means you have to deal with it. Here's why this is such a big deal. Jesus says that everything that happens, it happens. We think about it like externally. It happened on the outside, right? But Jesus says, no. It happened already in the inside. There's a root inside of you that's pushing you to do some of these things. And you need to root the inside out so the fruit out here is good, right? If your relationships are a mess, or there are things going on, we often think it's them. It's the bad fruit out there, or I just did this and it was just like, it was a mistake, and it's this external thing, but it's really this internal thing. See, bad roots never produce good fruit. It just doesn't happen. They produce bad fruit. Bad root, bad fruit. It's a good line, right? You can tweet that out. You have to face the truth. You have to face the truth. Jesus said this in John chapter 8. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. To face the truth means that you need to bring whatever you have over that is in the darkness, you need to bring it over into the light. And you need to deal with it. If you're a disciple of Jesus, you bring the wrongs into the light and you own them. You own them. Yeah, I did that. I did that. Question for you, just to ponder. What right now are you pretending is not a problem? What right now in your life are you pretending is not a problem? What's keeping you from facing the truth? Because the truth, it says, will set you free. You bring these things into the light, and it's going to be hard, it is going to be harsh, and it's going to be difficult. But if you will bring it into the light, it says it'll set you free. What happens is that we like to live in the darkness, right? Well, I didn't really do that. And you know, I'm a 6'4", chiseled man in the dark. But then I wake up and the darkness goes away and I look in the mirror and I'm not that person, right? Because we look at it and we go, oh, wait, we don't like the light because it shows our flaws. It shows that we are sinful and that we do hurt other people. And we don't want to think that about ourselves. But when you bring things into the light, it's painful, but it sets you free. The Bible over and over and over again talks about to walk in this light. That you would walk in this light. What does that mean? It means that you walk in truth, you walk in honesty. Who you are and who you are not. the real me, for better or for worse. Why is this important? Why is it important that we live in the reality of the light, that we take ourselves out of the darkness and put ourselves into the light? Because God wants us to experience real love. People can't love the real you if you're not being the real you. God cannot love or heal who you're pretending to be, but he does love the real you. One of the chief virtues in all of Christianity, in the Christian life, it is something called humility. What is humility? Humility is just honesty. It's just honesty. It's trusting God and others with the real me. That's humility. For some reason, we struggle with that. We struggle with, well, what if they know the real me and they don't love me? And we're scared to walk into the light. For some of you here today, you have good reasons for why you did what you did, why you owe somebody something. Someone did something to you and they hurt you and you reacted to it. But you're masking the guilt right now. And you mask it with the blame game. Well, it's their fault I did that. It's their fault that I reacted that way. It's their fault. Well, they started the argument. Now, if you're 7 years old or younger, I'm going to give you a pass on this one, right? Because this is somewhat of a complex thought, right? But if you're older than this, you this is the reality. You need to own your own part. You need to go, yep, I'm going to face the truth. I did do that. And that was my fault. If you want to experience healing, you need to walk into the truth, because the truth will set you free. You need to own your part. Blame is B/lame, right? If you want to be lame, then just blame others. You've got to face the truth. Guilt says, I owe you. And after that, you have to face the truth. You're going to own it. God cannot heal who you're pretending to be. He loves you in the light, and he wants to heal you in the light. So we face the truth. Number three on this thing is, you need to confess to God. You face the truth. You're owning it. You're owning what you've done. And the next step is that you confess this. In Psalms 32, 3 through 5, this is King David writing. He's writing after he had this relationship that was he shouldn't have had. It's with Bathsheba. And he's writing this from the depths of his own heart. And he writes this: there was a time when I wouldn't admit what a sinner I was. But my dishonesty made me miserable and filled my days with frustration. Denial in this thing, he denies, right? Like he says, I wouldn't admit that I'm a sinner. Denial always denies freedom. Not owning your stuff. It always denies freedom. Always. He goes on, he says, but my dishonesty made me miserable and filled my days with frustration. If you read this phrase in the original Hebrew, what you would see is this language that he uses is a language of depression. What he's saying here is that he became so depressed that he couldn't function. It filled my days with frustration. David is writing hundreds of years before Christ. And he's saying this unconfessed sin, this guilt that comes from within, it will depress you and it will wreck you emotionally. And then he goes on and he says, all day and all night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water on a sunny day until finally I admitted all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them. In the Hebrew, it would say that his guilt got into, and you can look at a different translation, it'll say it got into his bones. Got into his bones, this guilt. and he felt weak. What he's saying is it physically changed me because I was holding on and I was holding on to this guilt, and it physically made him sick. Until he finally admitted all his sins, he stopped trying to hide them. And I said to myself, I will confess them to the Lord. And you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. How free would we be if all our guilt was gone? How free would we be if all our guilt was gone? I said this before, but I want to remind you of this again. Biblical Christianity is different than all other religions. It's different than all other religions. All of the religions say, here's how it works. I'm going to work my way to God. I'm going to be better and better and better. This is not what guilt is. Guilt is here, and you can't like just be better. You have to deal with it, right? But other religions, well, if I just work my way to God, then it'll be good. I'll meet the requirements, and then he'll accept me. But the reality is that you can't work your way to God. As a biblical Christian, you can't work your way to God. The requirement to working your way to God is perfection. And you know that there's no perfect people. Here's how Christianity is different than any other religion. This is the good news of Christianity for all people. God knew that we couldn't work our way to him. So God, in his love, in his mercy and his grace, he worked his way to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Think about this as news. News is something that you can, it's not something that you can achieve. It's something you accept and say, that's true. And we accept it and we internalize it and we say, hey, this is good. Or we say, no, that's fake news. God works his way to us because we needed forgiveness. We had guilt. And so he works his way to us because there's a debt-debtor relationship. We couldn't pay the debt. And so he brings Jesus into this thing. You know the last thing Jesus ever said on this earth? You guys remember? In a few weeks, we're going to talk about it. It's finished. It is finished. This can be also translated. This is Greek, and it can be translated, the debt has been paid in full. Is that not awesome? The debt has been paid in full. So Jesus goes to the cross. He takes our sins, past, present, and future, and he pays for them with his own life. He dies. He goes to the grave, and then 3 days later, he rises again, and he defeats death. The Bible teaches that if you will confess your sins, he will take all of your sins. He will take all of your sins. This is amazing. And he takes all of our sins, and what does he give us? All of his righteousness. He imputes, or he gives, all of his righteousness to us. How free would you be if you didn't have guilt? How free would you be? That's like freedom. Like, you're not responsible for your sins, but you need to confess those. You're not responsible before a mighty God. He says you are justified. The righteousness has been given to you. Here's the deal. A lot of times people, like, I'll talk to people and they're like, I could never come to church because lightning bolts will come down upon me. Like the church is some like magical place where unicorns dance around and God somehow knows your sins when you walk in the door just, right? Like, it doesn't work like that. Like, this is the God of the universe. He knows your sins already. He knows what you're holding inside already. 2,000 years ago, Jesus went to the cross and he said, you know what? There's going to be this dude, 2000, his name's Levi, and he's going to live in Houghton. And you know, he's going to do this and 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 this. And I'm going to take all of those sins and I'm going to put them on me for him. He does the same for you. He knows your sins already. It's not like you can ever surprise. It's not like God's sitting up there and you confess your sins and he goes, oh my goodness, I cannot believe. He already knew. He already knew. He already knew. If we're going to go, God has come to us and he says, would you just see my love? Would you just see my forgiveness? Could I just release you from your guilt? You cannot shock him. You know, the Bible says that God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. God has already said yes to you. He loves you. He wants you to say yes to him. He wants to take away your guilt. Those events that cause you guilt that you've been walking around with, a couple of thousand years ago, he knew about them. He knew them. Before you were ever born, God knew the sins that you would commit. He knew these events. And he went to the cross and he said, I'm going to pay for them in full. He's just waiting for you. He's waiting for you to walk into the light, to walk into the truth, and to accept his forgiveness. If you do this, it will change you. God accepts you not as you should be, but as you are. But he loves you enough not to leave you right there. He wants you to walk with him. The final thing I want to talk about today is when it comes to guilt. And one of the things that is we're not really good at, but I'm going to talk about it because the Bible talks about it, is that we're to confess our sins to one another. I'm not talking about a priest or a clergy. If you want to tell me your sins, I'll listen. I can't forgive them, though. That's the work of Jesus. But to confess our sins to someone we trust. And some of you are going, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm not telling anybody my dirty little secrets. Now you're just getting crazy up there. But the Bible says that we are to confess to each other. Why? Because you cannot experience love pretending. You need to tell other people what's going on inside of your heart. In James chapter 5, it says this. It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So a couple of things here. This is a little cookbook for healing right here. A little cookbook for healing. You start confessing your sins. I'm not saying walk up here today and grab the mic and confess your, that's craziness. I'm talking about people you trust, that you would confess your, this is what's going on inside of my heart. And what do? You begin to pray for each other. And then it says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Well, you might go, well, who is righteous? Here's the biblical answer. Anybody who said yes to Jesus. Anybody who said yes to Jesus is righteous, because it's not their righteousness, it's Jesus' righteousness on them. Because God has taken their sins and he's imparted Jesus' righteousness onto them. Most people, when we think about confessing our sins to each other, we won't do it, or we do it because we think that it's going to ease our conscience, right? Like, well, I did this. Or we want to have a like greatest sin top 10 list, like, and see if we can, you know, go over top of each other. But that's not the biblical idea behind that. It's not to ease your conscience. Biblical confession is bigger than that, and it's about change. See, confession, repentance, and forgiveness, and movement toward freedom, those things like that confessing, it goes together kind of like peanut butter and jelly, right? The point of confessing and praying for each other is change, heart transformation, the swatting of the bug inside. Confessing is never the point. It's not like I just go and confess. That's not the point. It's the push toward transformation. We don't confess just so we can go up and like, well, I confessed. Now I can go back out and fill up my sin bucket and we'll confess again next week. Like, that's not how it works. It's so you root those things out so you produce good fruit. It's a moment when we do this, when we confess, it's the moment where we go, you know, I've been bitter inside. And maybe you do that to the person that you're bitter with. Maybe you just start by going, you know what, I have got this bitterness and I don't really know why it's there, but it's there. Will you pray for me? It's the moment where you say to your friend, hey, I have anger. I've got anger inside of me. I'm not sure where it comes from, but I know what it produces. It produces this attitude in me, produces this foul language in me. I know some of it has to do with not trusting in God, but I don't exactly know where it comes from. Will you pray for me? For others, it's been, man, I've been addicted to lustful things that I've been looking at. You need to confess. Not to go look at my sin, but because you want it rooted out. For some of you, every time there's a conflict in your relationship, what do? You run. That's not biblical. You run. And you feel guilty about it, but you run and you suppress it and you say, oh, it's their fault, not mine. Confess that. You need to address that. But you might need some people praying for you on that one, for healing to come. For others of you, you like a good story and you struggle with the gossip. You struggle with it. And I've been telling these things, and I feel like it's like I want other people to pray, and I use prayer as a gossip tool, right? When we confess to each other, we begin to heal. The healing process begins. We begin to work it out. Someone else is helping us to swat it out, the bug that's inside. I'm going to ask the band to come. And we're just going to take a moment right now. I want to ask you a question this morning. Who do you owe? Who do you owe? Who do you owe something to right now? For maybe too long, you've been pushing down on this idea that it's their fault or it's not really that bad, but you owe something. This is time to do business with the Lord. It's time to go, God, I recognize this. I'm owning my stuff. As I walk into the light, maybe it is you are an absentee parent. You're not going to be able to repay that, but you can walk back into it and say, you know what? I'm sorry, son, or I'm sorry, daughter. Maybe you had a dad or a mom that wasn't great, and you got bitterness in your heart for that. Their relationship broke up, and you struggled as a teenager, and you're bitter inside. Maybe it's time to go, God, I'm sorry that this is here. And maybe it's time to go to mom or dad and say, you know what, this is here, and I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? You didn't do it. You didn't split your parents up, but it's still there. What is it? Who do you owe? Who do you owe this morning? Just take a moment. The Bible says that if you will confess your sins, he's faithful to forgive. How free would you be if you didn't have that guilt? How free would we be? God, we come. We humbly come, knowing that we all have stuff that we've done, mistakes that we've made, God, some things that we hold so dear to and so hold that is someone else's fault. But God, I just ask that you would raise those things up today, that we would see clearly, that your light would shine in and we would see the blemishes, the pain, and that you'd begin to heal us. God, you want us to be free. You want us to heal. God, I just ask that that would happen today, that we would begin to take those steps, to own our stuff, to confess it, to confess it to others, to do business with you and do business with others where we need to, God, that we would be free. God, we know that you love us, not as we should be, but as we are. And we're thankful for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.